CHUM AM Toronto is TSN 1050, an iHeartRadio station and the voice of Toronto sports. This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Final hour, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 online, tsn1050.ca, your home smart speaker, and now up on TSN 2, Brian Hayes and Jonah Siegel of The Athletic. The O-Dog doing some panel work, so he's covering the Leafs and Columbus tonight on TSN 4. Catch up with our buddy Mark Masters in about a half an hour down at the rink and get more of an update on the injuries, on the replacements, some of the kids making their debuts tonight. What he expects out of them with Columbus in town. And we're going to get to our list here in just a moment, because there's a couple reasons why we decided to do this. It is into December, end of the year. A lot of people are doing, you know, different Canadian athlete lists, and the Lou Marsh will come out tomorrow. We're going to have our Lou Brown Awards revealed tomorrow at 5:30. But big news yesterday, Bianca Andreescu announcing she's not going to be at the Aussie Open. And Bianca has been one of the biggest Canadian athletes and draws and compelling stars, really, over the last 3 or 4 years. And now she's not going to be competing at the Aussie Open. And today it was announced Vladdy Guerrero Jr. won the Tip O'Neill Award, which is effectively the Canadian Baseball Player of the Year. And as a result, we're like, okay, maybe we should come up with a list, non-hockey players, in terms of the most compelling athletes, the most excitable athletes, who we have our eye on going into 2022. But I will say, before we get to both of our lists, and I haven't seen your list. I don't know if you included Vladdy. I did not include Vladdy in my list.
I did not either.
And I take issue with the idea that he would be up for the Tip O'Neill. Not that it's the end of the world, but this feels like a circumvention of the award and the parameters of the award. And as my understanding, Vladdy's going to come up tomorrow in the Lou Marsh voting. And yes, he's born in Montreal. He's Canadian. Absolutely, he's a Canadian. But I think if you were to ask Vladdy, he'd be the first one to tell you he identifies as a Dominican athlete. If the World Baseball Classic were happening, he would play for the Dominican Republic. He would not play for Canada. And I look at it the same way I look at William Nylander. Born in Calgary, he's a Swedish athlete. Emma Raducanu just won the U.S. Open. Born in Toronto. Spent the first 2 years of her life in Toronto. Is she going to be up for the Lou Brown? Or the Lou Marsh? Or the Tennis Player of the Year? No, she won't be, because she's British athlete.
Well,
and I feel like this is circumventing it because he plays for the Jays. Like, if Vladdy played in Arizona, would he be up for the Tip O'Neill? And would he be up for the Lou Marsh? I don't think he would be.
Can I play devil's advocate?
Sure.
Where was Milos Raonic born?
Well, and that Steve Nash.
Where was Steve Nash born?
He was born in South Africa. Yeah, but that actually proves my point, Jonas.
Does it?
The fact, well, because we consider they came up in our system.
Yeah,
they identify as Canadian athletes. Milos and Steve would say, "I came up as a Canadian tennis player, Canadian basketball player. I represent Canada at the highest level." William Nylander represents Sweden. Vladdy, I think, would represent the Dominican Republic. Emma Raducanu would represent the UK.
Mm-hmm.
So
fair.
Yes, he is Canadian. Of course he is. But I feel like why not just...
We should just get rid of Nations, Hayes, and just like do a global... We're all global citizens. How do you think?
Well, I disagree with that vehemently. I believe in a sovereign state and our borders and all that, Jonas. Let's not get crazy here. But, you know, on the flip side of it, Freddie Freeman, who's an American... Both his parents Canadian. He has dual citizenship. He is a Canadian. Has never been up for the Tip O'Neill. So
it's
just
almost
feels
like they're picking and choosing.
Effectively. And I think, again, because Vladdy plays for the Jays as opposed to Arizona or the Cubs or the Marlins or whatever, it feels even more Canadian. But I don't think Vladdy identifies as a Canadian athlete. I think he would say he's a Dominican athlete.
Yeah, if he played for the Yankees, he's probably not winning that award.
No, exactly. So I wouldn't say I'm disappointed, because I don't think it's worthy of disappointment. But if he were to be up for the Lou Marsh or win it over Damian Warner, or, you know, any of our Olympians that had a great season, Connor McDavid has clearly had an amazing year, Andre DeGrasse, like, I don't think it should happen. I don't think Vladdy should be even in that conversation.
Man, I didn't have some of those people on my list. I should have.
Well, now I got you thinking, Jonas, because there's an honorary mention, man. There's, and I let's get to our list. You can start here with all of this in consideration with the Bianca Andreescu news, Vladdy, who neither of us have on our list because we don't. I don't consider him a a Canadian athlete. I know he's born here and Canadian based on birth, but who do you have? You can start this party off. Your top five non-hockey playing Canadian athletes that you find compelling, intriguing, you're looking ahead to in 2022.
All right.
Go ahead and start the party.
Do you want me to go 5-1? I think that's
more dramatic. Yeah, you can do that. Yeah, I think we can pull that off. You want to go 5-1?
All right. Number five, Felix. Huh?
Oje Aliassime.
I was debating between Felix and Dennis, and like you can kind of flip a coin. Both those guys, I think, are on the rise.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm picking one guy to win the next major, or I guess win the first major for Canadian
on the men's side,
right?
Yep.
He would be my pick. Number
I agree.
Five.
I agree. Okay, I like that.
Number four, I don't think you're going to have this guy on your board at all.
Okay.
Andrew Wiggins.
Not only do I have him on my board, I have him at number four.
Impressed.
I'll get to my reasoning, but
yes.
You go ahead. You go ahead, Jonas.
I think he's very important to a team that is right now the favorite to win the NBA championship.
I agree with
he
you.
I think he's their fourth best player. He's going to guard every great player in the playoffs. I think he's kind of like found his way in Golden State. It's kind of the perfect spot for him. He doesn't have to be the star. He's not really in the spotlight, but he's like kind of weirdly important to them.
He's Phil Kessel is what he is.
Good
he's
comp.
Immensely talented, and he needed to be basically put in a place where he's not the man, he's not the secondary guy, he's not even necessarily the third option, but could be if need be. You look at his stats last night. Look at his numbers last night. What did he go, 8-for-10 from three last night? His outside shot, his numbers are elevated significantly. When he went to Minnesota, he could have had this story early in his career if LeBron didn't go to Cleveland and then basically say, I want Kevin Love, you got to flip this pick. He was irrelevant in Minnesota because they were so bad. It doesn't help his history here because he hasn't played for the national team.
Mm-hmm.
But when when he went to Kansas and when he was going first overall, he was the most hyped Canadian player in history in terms of youth and knowing of him when he was 14, 15, 16 coming up. And it's taken him a long time. But because he's riding with Steph, because he's on arguably the best team in the league, I agree with you. I have Wiggins at 4-2.
Nice.
So
I
totally agree with you.
I will stay on the NBA side for number three. SGA is my number three. Now, he's obviously not playing. You had him on your list?
I do not have Shea Gilgeous Alexander.
I think he's the best Canadian playing currently
I think
in the league.
Murray, but Jamal
Murray's not playing.
Coming off injury. Yes.
Right, he's not playing right now.
Yes.
Now, he plays for a bad team, but he is like their one legit star. Like they're doing the craziest experiment. Are one of the crazier experiments we've seen in sports, but like he is their one guy that they're actually for sure keeping.
Yes.
I think.
Unless he eventually goes, get me out of here.
Well, you'd think that would happen eventually. Like if they're just going to be bad for 3 or 4 years, I don't know.
Yeah. He's got to get better and improve. Like to get to an Anthony Davis point where he's like, I'm just not playing for you and you got to get rid of me and I want to go here, there, or wherever. But Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is, kind of on an island right now. Lou Dort, like they got some pieces there for sure. But okay, Shea, you got Shea at number three. Who do you have at number two? Top five non-hockey playing Canadian athletes, compelling to Jonas Siegel right now.
I got Layla at number two.
Okay, I like it. I like it. So do I.
So obviously, so with Bianca out, we look to Layla kind of now on the female side of tennis. And
absolutely.
I don't know. Like every one of these tournaments now is like gripping because like on both sides of the draw you've got people who could actually win the you know what I mean?
In a weird way, even though she didn't win it, it feels like she almost had as big of an impact as Bianca did.
Yep.
Like Bianca won, and Bianca won against Serena, which was so significant, and it was the first, and Bianca will always hold the crown because of that.
And it was the U.S. Open.
But so was the U.S. It was the U.S. Open with Leila Fernandez as well when she put herself on the map.
And that was so out of nowhere, too.
Exactly. That was the difference. Bianca had won in Toronto. She had won in Indian Wells. Like, the majority of people, myself included, I didn't know who Leila Annie Fernandez was. I had no idea. And immediately captivating. And I'm with you, man. I had her at two as well. And she'll be at the Aussie Open. Bianca won't. I think that's pretty much all you need to know.
I think we'll both have the same number one.
Yes.
Alphonso Davies?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't know very much about soccer, but even I know what's going on with the men's soccer program and the World Cup and everything like that, and even I know how special he is.
Yeah, I mean, you can't avoid it. He's when you start talking about that sport, the amount of people that play it around the world, the how elite it is in Europe, all the different leagues. He's on a great team in Bayern Munich. I think his you look at the transfer portal, he's always, I believe he's in the top 15 or 20 in terms of what teams would pay for him compared to other great players in the world. He's special. It's unique. We've never had anyone like him. And you tie that together with the Canadian national team and their success and their pursuit of the 2022 World Cup and him being the face of that, it blows everyone else out of the water. So I'm with you. I've only got a couple differences. Again, we're going through our top five non-hockey playing Canadian athletes that we find compelling, intriguing going into 2022. I had Davies at one. I had Fernandez at two. I had Wiggins at four. But let me get to number five here. I have Joey Votto at five.
Ooh, yeah, he had a big year.
He had a big year, and I've always believed Joey Votto doesn't have a big enough profile in this city. Forget the rest of the country. He's from Toronto.
Yeah.
We've interviewed him multiple times. A great interview. Friend of the show. I'm a little bit biased from that standpoint. He's my age. But this guy, I think when it's all said and done, is going to be considered the greatest Canadian ball player of all time. I think he's probably already passed Larry Walker. He's got 2,000 hits. He's going to the Hall of Fame. His on-base percentage is outrageous. He's always up for the MVP. He's spectacular. He's a spectacular player, and he's doing this at 38. You look at the numbers he's got. How much more do we have of watching Joey Votto, and who's the next great Canadian coming up? You know, like, Votto's kind of owned this for the better part of a decade, and I don't want it to disappear. So I'm still holding on to Joey Votto and what he's all about. I have him at number five. I also had Andrew Wiggins at number four. I think he broke it down appropriately. Big team, great team, Steph, and it's coming together. The talent is there. He's shooting the ball very well. He looks athletic. He looks like a stud. You know, Wiggins looks like he's found a very appropriate position to be in, and we'll see what he's got come playoff time. And if he ends up playing for the national team, that will boost it that much more. But Wiggins is finally on the map. It's been a long time coming. Finally on the map. Number three, this is kind of similar to the Joey Votto story, where end of the road, great career, kind of want to hold on and see what's left. I have Christine Sinclair at three.
Nice.
Yes, Christine Sinclair at three, who, you know, holds all these records, has been the face of soccer. Like, well, everything we just said about Alphonso Davies, he has taken the crown from Christine Sinclair in terms of being the face of soccer in this country. Like, the fact of the matter is the men's team has not held their weight. The women's team has been so successful for so long. They win the gold medal at the Olympics. Christine Sinclair was the face of that, not necessarily the driving force behind it, but Christine Sinclair is a household name. She's the greatest Canadian soccer player of all time, and she's at the end of the road in terms of her career and what she's going to do, and I'm compelled by where else she might take her career or what else she has left in terms of the national team. And then at two, we both have Leyla Fernandez, and at one, I've got Alphonso Davies because, you know, Davies is on a different path, and I think it's a different – it's a sport where it's clearly – everyone concedes it's the – biggest sport around the world, most popular sport around the world, and it's a playground where we haven't been invited and we haven't been included. Like, Canada just has not been there, and if it coincides with this guy's superstardom blowing up with the national team finally making some noise and maybe finally making it to the World Cup on merit, not just waiting for 2026 and punching a ticket because of a hosting scenario, I can't even imagine what this guy's going to represent.
Well, can you imagine what it'll be like if the World Cup comes around and Canada's in it? Like, what it'll be like around the country? Like, I don't know. We haven't really had
I don't know either. It'll be uncharted territory, right?
Yeah.
Like, and I think you'll get a lot of Canadians that will be somewhat confused in terms of who you're supposed to root for.
Yeah, it's like your family heritage. Do you root for that? Do you root for Canada? What do you do?
I'm not
sure.
Root
for both.
I root for both. Yeah, I mean, I'll be rooting for Canada because I just don't – I don't have enough of a connection to, you know, my heritage, I guess, and – for me, I'll be nose to the grindstone with the Canadians. But I understand if you're always supporting a different nation based on your heritage and your history, how that would certainly be conflicting. So I didn't have any Olympians. You didn't either because it's not an Olympic year. It's
also
the summer games.
I don't know anything.
Yeah, but like Andre
DeGrasse
is a guy.
That's
you know DeGrasse. Yeah, exactly. But DeGrasse, you know, there's going to be the world championships and all that. But he just took over. I'm not thinking 2022 is the year of Andre DeGrasse.
Yeah, fair.
Damian Warner, the same thing, wins the decathlon. I think that is the guy who should win the Canadian Athlete of the Year. If I had a pick, it would be Damian Warner for sure. It might be unanimous on my end, or I would expect it should be, and I kind of think he'll win the Lou Marsh. I think he absolutely should.